I'm an entrepreneur with a mission to share unique business journeys, workflow and client experience tips, and entrepreneurial advice through fun and easygoing conversations with pros and peers. I'm Cassie, and I'm your host. Let's grab drinks after work every Thursday as we banter and brainstorm. With a shot of business and a splash of pleasure, this is the Mastermind Mixer. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Mastermind Mixer. I am Cassie. I'm your host. I am here with Allie Rae Haney of the Allie Rae Haney Show and Chelsea Gilson. She is a Kentucky influencer. Hi, Chelsea.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
We are also at the first Escape Conference. Everybody, round of applause so we can see that the room is lively. Okay, so when everybody was coming in, there's just a level of mystery behind influencer marketing and UGC. So I'm gonna let you introduce yourself, and then I'm gonna ping you with questions. So go ahead.
Love that. All right. Well, hi everybody. I'm Chelsea Gilson. Like she said, I am a Kentucky-based content creator, and so what I do is I create primarily through Instagram content. Promoting the state of Kentucky, things to do, where to eat, both for people that live in Kentucky that are looking for things to do on the weekend and travel and just explore their own backyard, as well as for people that are looking to travel to Kentucky. I also do UGC as well, and I know we're gonna kind of get into the nuances of how influencing is different than UGC creation, so we'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay, so tell me how you got started. I know a little bit of the story, but let's tell everybody here.
So I actually got started like 1 year ago, almost like 13 months ago. So I really started it for fun as a creative outlet. I did the research and the niching down, and again, we'll talk all about that. But I realized that this really had some legs. It got to be very, very successful. I was bringing in some pretty steady income. And so I really built my business up around it. And yeah, I'm at the year mark. I have, LLC, a full business, over 100,000 followers across socials. So it's been a very fun ride. I do still have a full-time marketing job, so I'm in kind of the limbo of where I go. Like, do I leave my job? It's something very top of mind right now, but I think it's really relevant for this group based on what I've heard is I have been doing this for a year, so I'm new, but I've learned a lot, and so I'm excited to share what I've learned with everybody.
We haven't said the Instagram handle yet. You have to actually tell us your account.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that would be helpful. It is at my KY bucket list, and that's everywhere. So primarily Instagram, TikTok, I am on YouTube, Pinterest, Threads,
you have a marketing background.
Yes.
So did that lead you down this path? Like, where do you land?
My marketing is not social based at all.
Okay.
It's very sales based and product based. So very much like print world, nothing to do with social.
Okay. So I need to know like the root of how you're like, I am going to be a content creator. Like, I know it's like fun and everything, but when did it stop? When did it start? How did that transition happen?
So I think it was when I started it for fun. When I first started landing people wanting to pay me to do something that I very much enjoyed. And it was kind of like a switch. It's like, there's more for me. I want to enjoy my job. I want to enjoy my life. I do have a little boy who is almost 2 years old, and so I want to be able to provide for him and make memories with him. And for me, that is not sitting behind my desk 9 to 5. And so doing this work, getting paid for it, making memories, gives me the flexibility to potentially do that and spend more time with my family.
You're literally in a room full of women who would say the exact same thing about why they're in their own business too.
So yeah, that was my switch.
So we did ask the attendees some questions about what they had, about UGC, and I sent those to you before, but most of them were like, how do I get started? I really thought you guys were going to be like, how do I integrate this into my business? A lot of you are interested in being content creators, which I think is like a really good position for you to give about, let's start with the difference.
Yeah.
Influencer marketing versus UGC.
Yep. So influencer marketing is when you yourself want to influence others to like purchase services, products, go places. You want to use your following, build a following, and then be able to leverage that to sell or do it, what it is that you want to do. UGC is a little bit different because you're not actually using your following. So where for influencing, you may be partnering with a brand to then use your audience and leverage your audience for their brand. UGC is where you are creating content for the brand. You are not using your audience. You do not have to post anything on your own social media. You hand that content over to the brand for them to use.
So do you do both?
I do both, yeah.
Okay, what's the breakdown of your UGC content or UGC income versus influencer income?
UGC is very low for me. I focus on leveraging my audience majority of the time. So I would say it's almost like 98% influencing for me, 2% UGC.
So we've had a lot of discussions about like time management, time blocking. I know you have a full-time job still. Mm-hmm. So how do you manage this like lucrative business while managing your life? Like, tell us how to do our social medias, because none of us know how to do it. So like, fill us in.
Yeah. So time management, it's difficult and it's a game. So while you're building up to where you want to be, it is a lot of time. Like, it's a lot of dedication. You do have to give up some things. I try to do it, like I said, I have a little boy, so I will try to do it when he's in bed or at daycare in the mornings, afternoon, lunchtime, you know, basically whenever I can get a window. If I'm not working on my full-time job and I'm not trying to like take away time from my family, I use those little blocks. That does mean you obviously have to prioritize what's going to make the biggest lift for you. So for me, that is Instagram. So when I get a moment, I'm focusing on Instagram. Do I have a blog and an email and a TikTok and a Pinterest and all those other things? Yes, I do. With managing a full-time job though, I prioritize Instagram because that's where my income's coming. And then I kind of work in sprints. So I'll, you know, focus on Instagram, but then if I have a couple hours a week or maybe even like 1 week or 1 month, I want to focus on getting blog content out there. I may do that, and then the next month pivot to email content, and then the next month pivot to, or next week pivot to TikTok or something like that, just so I can make sure I'm still producing content, but I'm still focused mainly on what's bringing my income. And then as I free up more time, I can support some of those other things.
Okay, so this is like, this isn't on your list, but I need to know. So okay. With everything that you're balancing, because it sounds like you're balancing
a lot.
How do you feel it bleeding in, or is it like cohesive with your family time? Like, you know, when does your family time start? You see these, you see like family accounts especially. Like, when are you not on? Like, when are you not? Are you always creating content? Is content
no.
Okay.
No, I definitely, there's like weeks I've taken off.
Okay.
I try to batch when I can.
Okay. I found this on the web for family. When does it? When are you not on like when?
We'll use AI to get that out. Okay.
That's live. Okay.
So I batch content, but also, so the way that I've built my following and my niche, it's very integrated into my everyday life. So it's things that me and my family are going to do together no matter what. The good thing and the very exciting thing about it is because it's, you know, things to do and places to go around Kentucky, I can take my family to that and I can grab content while we're making memories. And that's what I enjoy the most about it. There are times like, for example, tonight and, you know, yesterday there was an event where my husband's at home with my son and I just have to make the choice of, okay, tonight I'm going to go do this. And sometimes those decisions are hard, but in the long run, I know that it's going to pay off because this allows me to make those memories, also get paid to do it. And it'll be, you know, it might be a grind for a year. You can do anything for a year.
Yeah.
And then things will kind of slow down as you've ramped up, built your following, and you're able to be a little bit less consistent once you've built up what you need.
When I think of influencer marketing, I think of a lot of affiliate links. Mm-hmm. A lot of us come from service industries, and we have certain softwares that we use, and we can grab an affiliate link for that. But I've heard you say multiple times that you're able to get paid for doing things or going places with your family. What does that entail?
Yep. So I'll give an example. I went glow kayaking in a cave in Kentucky. So anyone that's interested in that, you can see it on my page at my Kentucky Bucket. But basically, these companies will reach out, or I will reach out to them, and we will just do like sponsored posts. So instead of me posting a link, they are paying me a set fee to create the content and then post it to my page. And so it's a little bit different than what like an affiliate link typically would be. Is service based is a little bit different, but like if it's product based, you know, if I do an Amazon storefront, I have to typically buy what it is that I want from Amazon, share it, and then when other people click and purchase, they will get a kickback from it. So it's just a little bit different in that way. It's no commissions, no, you know.
It's the one-time.
One-time, yep.
Fee.
And then a lot of what I do is also packaged. So I may do a package for 2 Instagram posts, plus a blog post, plus an email newsletter. And so the more deliverables, the higher the price goes. But it's all that flat fee.
Did you create those packages?
I did.
Okay. How did you come upon those? How did you know what they needed and wanted?
So, I primarily lead with Instagram because it's my highest following. So, it is kind of somewhat based on follower count. And then I'll add some of the areas that I'm trying to grow for a discounted rate. So, I will pitch, you know, at just an Instagram only package. Sometimes people are interested in that. It's typically my lowest cost. So, and that's totally fine. However, if I want to, you know, start doing proof of concept, essentially, of what I can do on the blog or email or TikTok, I will do a package with 2 Instagram posts and then throw in those others for a much lower rate, where it might only be $100, maybe $200 more, but they're getting so much more content. And so that's kind of how I've set those.
It sounds like it's an active process of you choosing who you want to reach out to. So how do you determine who you're going to reach out to?
It's a little bit of mix. So I'm fortunate to the point where I have grown my following to the point where with my full-time job, I am currently only doing like an inbound sales strategy. So people, they reach out to me. There was a point, and there will be another point, where I will have to start reaching out. I really look for what fits my niche. What are things that I'm very interested in doing? What have I seen other creators that are similar to me in other states, other cities? What is content that's really resonating that I would have never thought even existed? And let me find those companies and let me reach out to those locally. And so that's how I typically find people. I will say the number of people that reach out to me, it's kind of a 50-50 split between either the business owner or someone that works at the business or their PR agency. And so it's a little bit different, but typically it always originates on Instagram. Unless it's a PR agency, they almost always originate via email.
So I'm imagining like Chelsea when she had like 312 followers on mm-hmm. Instagram. How did you start getting paid? Did you demand money out of the gate?
No, I wish I could. So when I start and when most people start, you're doing value exchanges or product exchanges. And so my first collaboration that I was so excited about was I had like 300 followers. A restaurant gave me a free meal to go and then post about it. And so I definitely continued to do that. But as I was growing, and this kind of goes back to the balance. So my first 4 or 5 months, I posted every single day for like 5 months. Then my follower count started picking up. I started getting more consistency as far as followers go. And so I was able to back off because I had, when people were going to my page and looking at my content, I didn't have to prove that I was worth a follow essentially at that mm-hmm. point, because I had done all the work. I could back off my posting schedule. And then as I continued to grow, more people were reaching out. And then when I hit probably the 3,000 to 5,000 mark is when people would actually be willing to pay. And again, it starts lower. I think my first paid collaboration was $100, and then it goes up as your follower count goes up.
So we're going to open this up for a Q&A in just a couple minutes. So if you have questions, get them ready. My last question before I do that, what does the gear look like when we're are we just carrying our iPhones? Are we and tell me how it started and tell me where you are now. Because I feel like that probably changed.
So I'm pretty, I would say, low maintenance when it comes to gear compared to some others. Definitely started with just an iPhone. Now I do have the light. It's just a clip-on light that you buy on Amazon. You can put on your phone, and a tripod and a new laptop.
That's what's happening right now is one of our attendees, Angelica, just turned her light on because she has it with her right now.
So, I have that. I did buy a new computer. I actually just bought a new iPhone that has more storage and all of that. But that's pretty much it. I have friends that are influencing that they actually don't capture content themselves. They hire a videographer and they are just the face of their content.
Oh,
so it depends. It can vary.
It's very,
very
interesting because I know about your brand, your logo is what leads. You don't lead it.
Right.
That's true, right?
Yes. My account is mostly faceless.
Yeah.
Probably 80%.
Was that
faceless.
A conscious decision?
Yes. I was less, and it depends on what your goals are. If you want to be the one that's known, go for it. That is not necessarily for me. I wanted to lead with being a resource, and I didn't really care that people knew who I was. There are still people that, whenever I go to an event with a ton of influencers and I'll say my name, they're like, oh, nice to meet you. And then I'll say, I'm my Kentucky bucket list. And then that's what gets the recognition.
I see.
And I'm okay with that. I do not need to be front and center. So it just depends on the goals.
So a lot of us are service-based in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any tips or tricks on if we wanted to, can it serve a service-based business? And if you have recommendations on a strategy that we could implement, or any tips or tricks on what we could do to have the ask, do we lead? Because you do a little UGC too, which I think is a little bit more applicable in this situation.
Yeah.
But anything that you think that we could do, if we were ready to do this right now and bring that in as a marketing strategy for us.
To work with an influencer?
Yes.
I would definitely say any service-based business, product-based, any kind of business can work with an influencer. I do think influencer marketing is it is the new way. People don't want to be sold to, and so they're leaning on people that they trust, that they that they see, that they like, that maybe services that they've gotten and so on. So I know there was some calligraphers. Someone mentioned that there's some calligraphers in the room, and so I definitely think that's an option where you could work with an influencer. Thinking even about working with them on wedding invitations, them posting about your wedding invitations, them posting about birthday parties that you could do work for. That is very applicable. I know I got married a couple years ago, and that is something that, I did see people that would post things about their weddings or whatever it may be. And I went and I looked those people up and saw if they were in my budget and so on. And so I think it's just making sure it's authentic. Make sure that it's not I'm trying to give an example, very, very clearly paid. You want to work with people that can be very genuine and that truly love the service or product. And so it's coming from a place of genuine.
Yeah. I think you can read that online pretty well.
Yes.
It's not,
yeah. To say this person paid me to say that I like this.
Absolutely. It's hashtag paid or
right.
whatever. Paid
Which
app.
I will say you have to,
I know, I was kidding.
You have to, but if you're someone that, if you work with a lifestyle influencer that shares that type of thing all the time, people aren't going to think twice about it if it says hashtag ad.
Sure.
Or even someone says, hey, I worked with this person that did this service for me. I really, really liked them, so I'm partnering with them, and I want to share my experience with you.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? Are we?
Yeah. So for UGC content, what is like a baseline to expect as you're just kind of getting your feet in?
As far as payments?
Payments, yeah.
I personally think $250 per video. There are a ton of apps out there that will give you people that want UGC content that you can sign up for, and $250 is kind of the standard.
Is that a paid app?
No.
Okay.
A lot of the apps are not. You have got to create an account. But I will say all of mine are like local places, and so I don't have any like brand, like larger brands recommendations. I can find some and maybe send them to the group
absolutely.
After. But like My Local Hood is one that I use, or Crowdriff is one that it's called, for like local traveling content. And then there's a couple others similar to that.
So I will have you send those to us, and we'll drop them in the show notes, and we'll also put them in the Facebook page for the conference, so that everybody has access. Anybody else?
I do.
Okay.
How do you know, like, do you pre-script what you're gonna say
when I'm reaching out to a brand?
No, like when you're doing the content.
Is that all
pre-scripted? Like, I'm always like,
I do, but I do a lot of, like, I don't actually do voiceovers much in my content, but when I have, I write out talking points just so I know, especially if it's a paid ad, and there's certain things that, like, they want me to highlight, then I'll try to write talking points out, but I personally never do anything live. I will film something, I'll record it, make sure everything's good, and then I'll post, unless it's just, like, nailed it the first go, which is not very likely for me.
Vanessa?
So what does it look like, you know, 2, 3, 5 years down the road for you? What are your goals moving forward?
So my plan is to expand beyond just, like, content creation. And so for me, again, it's very localized, traveling around Kentucky. There's a lot of avenues I could go with that. One of the ones that are top of mind that I'm hoping to get into within the next year is actually owning my own rental properties, so people can then come and travel to Kentucky and stay with my Kentucky bucket list and incorporate guides, travel guides, different things like that within that space. There's also some product-based things that I've been thinking about, both digital and physical, so apparel could be one that I've been thinking about, Kentucky shirts, things like that. So
we have some graphic designers, we have a CPA who has rental properties, there's a lot of people in this room, so if you hang out with us afterwards, you can like pick some of our brains. I think it'll work out really well.
For sure. I mean, now, especially like with just all the resources you have, there's so many arms that you can get into in different businesses to grow, to make sure that you have multiple streams of income.
Something just came to my mind. You're not just, you know, we're in Louisville, this one city. You're Kentucky.
Yeah.
Are you traveling
all the time? Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So we were in Eastern Kentucky this past weekend. In a couple of weeks, I'm going down to kind of Western Kentucky area.
Okay.
So I am somewhat kind of in between Louisville and Lexington. So that's helpful because I'm between the two largest cities in Kentucky. But it's a lot of travel, but it's nice because, again, a lot of the people that I'm partnering with are Airbnbs.
Fitting the bill, yeah.
They are kid-friendly. They allow me to bring my husband and my son, and
that's
so we
so
can
awesome.
Do those things together. This past weekend when we went to Eastern Kentucky, it was an Airbnb. It slept 10 people. We brought our group of friends. So
that's
really cool.
So awesome. Yeah. So what do you have a number in mind of, like, when I start making X, I'm quitting my job?
Can you disclose that?
I've kind of gone back and forth, so just very transparently, I have a very good paying marketing job right now.
Yeah.
And so no matter what, it will be a long time before I'm able to meet that. And so we're actually playing with the idea right now, with leaning more on my husband's job, while I am bringing in. So I am not bringing in like six figures through Instagram right now. I'll be lucky if I hit like the 25,000 mark this year.
Okay.
Again, I've been doing this 1 year, so that's really
good. That's really good. No.
And so while we kind of all have to keep working, especially if we want to buy rental properties and things like that. So we're just kind of weighing our options and what makes the most sense for our family versus growing the business and that type of thing.
So when you are reaching out to brands for UGC content specifically, what should we have on our media kits?
So I personally don't actually reach out directly to brands for UGC. I go through the apps, but that's because I'm in like the 2% range of UGC, 98% of influencing. But no matter what, you're gonna want examples of your work, links to your work. For UGC, you don't really need follower count and that type of thing, but for kind of the flip side for influencing in your media kit, what I typically have is my follower count across platforms, my monthly reach, my audience breakdown. I try to do applicable examples, but it can take a lot of time to update your media kit based on the brand. So actually what I've done is I have a link on my website that says work with my Kentucky bucket list. I have it all there. It's no secret. Like, to me, there's no reason to hide it from anyone else that would want to see it. So that way it's always accessible.
Okay. We're going to take one more question and then we're going to wrap up. Who's going to be the bookend on that? I have it then.
Okay.
So a lot of us work, you know, personal brands and branding. Do you think that, like, how did you come up with your name? Like, how did you decide, you know, because you are niche, but to call it a bucket list, I want to know more about the origin of that.
So I will be completely honest, the AI helped me.
Oh!
I am a big supporter of working smarter.
We had a whole
harder.
Masterclass on AI. So yep. This is like, this
so,
is it.
Yeah, AI definitely helped with the name. I use like even ChatGPT or Gemini, it's the Google version, for like coming
up
with
names. That was literally
what
the masterclass was. Okay. I tell you, this is like sliding right into
Just give me ideas for stuff. Like, give me 20 names for, you know, this niche. I was doing it for kind of another arm of the business I'm thinking about. And so I use those to kind of help generate ideas. And then I go from there. So I had a lot of help. I wish I was a little bit more creative in that way, but it really helped me. But I get feedback on it all the time that people love the name. But I knew, so the other part of that is, of course, AI supported that. But something that's memorable, like, people know what it is when you look at it, and searchable.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Kentucky, you know, you're looking for things to do in Kentucky. I wanted to have Kentucky in the name. And so it actually happened pretty easily with AI support.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, you have been delightful, and I hope you guys enjoyed it too. I completely surprised them with this. We both did. So tell us one more time where we can find you. Oh, and before I say that, this is the Mastermind Mixer, and this is Louisville. So Mint Juleps and Run for the Rosé are on the menu. So when we go enjoy some drinks, have some cocktails, tell us where we can find you. And then again, I'll share everything online.
Great. Yeah, thank you for having me. You can find me primarily on Instagram at my KY bucket list, but I'm also have a strong presence on TikTok, would be my second.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. Well, you've reached the end of another episode of the Mastermind Mixer. I genuinely hope you enjoyed it and maybe even found a nugget or two of wisdom. If you did, I'd be thrilled if you could take a moment to rate and review the podcast. It's like putting gasoline in my podcast tank. And of course, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. And guess what? The show notes are not just a place where words hang out. They're like the VIP section. And there you might find a little surprise, the kind that pairs well with headphones and your favorite podcast. It's the paired drink for the episode. Thanks a million for tuning in. Until next time, stay curious, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay subscribed. Cheers.